it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. Coming up in about 15 minutes, I'll play our conversation with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. Until then, we'll talk a little bit of Chiefs. We'll also talk about the top story that exists in the NBA. There is currently a gambling scandal right now. They rounded up folks. Chauncey Billups got rounded up today. Damon Jones also did. Terry Rozier, to the point where Terry Rozier, the prosecutors wanted a $10 million bond. He ended up having to put up his home that's worth $6 million up for collateral in order for him to be free. So the feds, they feel very, very confident about the case that they have against these individuals and also some other people that were included in this as well. We'll get to that coming up in a bit. We'll also talk about the Chiefs as the trade deadline is less than 2 weeks away. But Rob, let's shout out Baker U.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for The Hits. Number one.
Carrington, as you mentioned, The Hits are brought to you by Baker University. Make your next era orange at Baker University, the first university in Kansas and ranked number one in return on investment among private universities in the state. Baker University, forever in our orange era. All right, so let's talk about this for a little bit. I promise you we'll get to the Chiefs as well, and then we'll play our conversation with Patrick Mahomes. This is by far and away the top story in the NBA. It's the top story in sports right now. It's one of the biggest stories in the country right now. And I think that people are trying to put this story into some of the wrong categories. So I want to try to undo it. So I have seen a lot of people mention gambling addiction when it comes to this story. Now, it's a long story, and not all the people are guilty of the exact same thing. Like, they got Chauncey Billups for basically rigging poker games. They believe that they had some special x-ray glasses. They think that the table was rigged. It sounds to me like people knew this for a very, very long time. Here was a podcast back in 2023. This was a poker gambling podcast. It sounds like the people that knew what was going on, oh, they didn't have any problem telling you about it.
This must have been like 5 years ago, 2019-ish, I think, 4 years ago, where there was this game. It started in L.A. and then it came to Vegas for a few days, and it was all built around Chauncey Billups. And I had heard about the game, and the person who told me about it was like, look, I know the game runners. I'm telling you 100% this game is on the up and up. And I was like, well, I know a lot of the people that are involved, and I'm telling you 100% that it is not on the up and up.
Yeah.
And, you know, we kind of went back and forth, and I agreed that, like, I just wasn't going to go play it. But I had some friends who went and played it both in L.A. and in Vegas. And it obviously, like, was for sure confirmed to be cheated. Mm-hmm. Like, people who clearly didn't even understand the rules of No Limit Hold'em are just, like, jamming hundreds of big blinds in with, like, a gutty. And then just drilling it. Yeah. Only the pros are losing.
I don't want to diminish gambling addiction. I think it's like any vice. So I that's not the purpose of any of this. But I don't think putting this into the category of gambling addiction is fair. I think this is just plain old greed. And we see this in sports gambling. We see this in corporate business. We see this when it comes to stocks. We see this when it comes to anything. You have a lot. And in theory, you should be really happy with what you have.
You make a lot of money. You got a great home. You got fame. You got fortune. But for whatever reason, that's not enough. And you already got enough food on your plate, but you know what? You want to continue to stockpile food and start taking food off other people's plate and put it onto yours. That's just plain old-fashioned greed. And that's what it sounds like what happened with Chauncey Billups. Chauncey Billups has made hundreds of millions of dollars in basketball. Hundreds of millions. Why are you participating in rigged poker games? Why are you, at least the federal government believes, you are one of the people that are rounding up other individuals to participate in this to help extort money from them? That's not gambling addiction. You're a thief, is what you are. You're a thief. You ran an elaborate scheme, is what you are a part of. That's what the government is telling us. That you were one of the masterminds or one of the co-conspirators in a fraud scheme to steal money from people. I don't think it's fair to call that a gambling addiction thing. Yes, that exists. That's a very real thing. I don't think that's what got caught up with Chauncey Billups. When it comes to Terry Rozier, reading his story, it sounds to me like one of two things happened. It sounded to me like either Terry Rozier got caught up in a bad way with some bad people and needed a lot of money in a short period of time. And if you need a lot of money in a short period of time, people usually do really desperate things. Things you would never think that you would do. They came up with the scheme where they were instantly able to make $200,000. He told a small group of people, hey, I'm going to leave this game early. You guys should bet the unders. They then loaded up and bet the unders. It cashed. Everybody profited in this scenario. So one of two things, either A, you were in a bad way with a lot of people and you figured out a way to get yourself out of the bad situation, or B, you tried to figure out a lick that you could help you and your friends with. Hey, I got a way for us to make some easy money today. Ha ha ha. Why don't we do this? I just think we got to at least label these things correctly. I also think when talking about the gambling apps and the commercials and all of those things, man, this is America. Now, I make money from FanDuel. I get paid every month from FanDuel and have been for quite some time. Very consistent check. So maybe I am part of this thing as well. But this is the deal that we've all signed up with in America, that you are allowed to participate in whatever your vice is. And the expectation is that you participate in that vice responsibly. There are not a lot of health risks for you drinking alcohol. There's not a lot. It's not a smoothie. It's not water. It's not apple juice. There are not a lot of positives from drinking alcohol. Alcohol is all around us in our society. Everywhere you go. We have made the decision that if you are old enough, that you are considered to be responsible enough to handle alcohol correctly. That if you want a beer with your meal, here, have one. If you want a glass of wine with your pasta, who's stopping you from having one if you are of age? And it is up to you then to be responsible enough to know your limits, know when you can't drive, know when you are impaired, and make a better decision. Not a lot of health risks for smoking cigars and tobacco. We let people do it pretty freely. We come up with new ways for you to do these things. The expectation is that you're grown, that you're an adult, that you can make your own decision. I feel like that's the exact same category that we have with these apps. We're not having big conversations about getting rid of alcohol in this country or getting rid of cigarettes in this country, or getting rid of other things in this country. I don't know if we can blame the sports apps when it comes to this. I feel like a lot of people use the sports apps how I use them. I don't gamble big. I don't bet big. I bet either $5, $10, or $20. I put a little bit of money here, a little bit of money there. I cash out. I think I'm pretty responsible when it comes to the gambling app. I think most people are pretty responsible when it comes to the gambling app. The average bet last year on DraftKings was $4. So I don't want to paint it like society, everybody is out here mortgaging their homes to go gamble. Yes, some people are doing that. The same way that some people abuse alcohol. But I think a large majority of people, they use alcohol responsibly. I think a large number of people that gamble on these apps use these apps responsibly. I got a little $100. I want to have a little fun. It's a Sunday. I'm watching football. Here, I'll bet on a touchdown. I bet on a game. If I win, great. If I lose, it's not that big of a deal. I don't think these apps are the problem. I think people are the problem. People are selfish. People are greedy. People are imperfect. And this is a prime example of that being the case. Chauncey Billups had everything. great name, great reputation, head coach in the league, broadcaster in the league, Hall of Famer. Who didn't like Chauncey Billups? Everybody liked Chauncey Billups. That's part of why he was so successful in running this scheme that he was running, is so many people like him. So many people trust him. So I just at least want to be fair with the conversation that we're having about these issues that happened today in the NBA, because they could happen in any sport. I think it's easier in basketball because of the kind of game that it is to manipulate. But we saw this exact same thing happen at baseball. It is no doubt in my mind that the closer for the Cleveland Guardians was cheating. It's no doubt in my mind when you look at the video. He was clearly tanking, match fixing, shaving points, whatever term you want to use. I just think that this is just, it's life. Now, if we're going to argue that they've made it easier now, that it used to be kind of an underground world and now it's an above ground world, that's fair. I would, again, just argue that's America and it should be up to you to make a decision about what you want to do with your life. I'm happy that sports gambling is legal. I'm excited for it to be legal in Missouri. It does make my life a lot easier if that's the case. I think a large majority of people use these apps responsibly, and some people are going to abuse them because some people abuse a lot of things in life. Hit it, Rob.
He's QB1.
And at quarterback from Texas Tech, number 15, Patrick Mahomes.
He's a three-time Super Bowl champion.
Mahomes moving to his left laterally, chased, holding it, and gets out of bounds and up the sideline. He's not out of bounds yet. He's at the 10, inside the 10. He dives for the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. A remarkable acrobatic scramble on a 27-yard run. Maybe the best play yet.
Two-time MVP and three-time Super Bowl MVP.
Patrick Mahomes with Mahomes magic. Starting left, peeling right. Three drives, three touchdowns for the Chiefs.
And you can hear him right here every week with CDOT, exclusively on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan. Here's Patrick Mahomes.
Earlier today, I got a chance to catch up with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. His appearance on the show was brought to you by our friends over at Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Telly Certified Techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today. We are happy right now to be joined by the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, joined us on the show today. Patrick, man, happy to have you back on the show.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you having me always.
Absolutely, man. Let's just start with this, something that you look forward to every year. You guys had your 15 and Mahomes Gala. You guys raised $1.5 million. How proud are you of what you guys have been able to build while you've been here in Kansas City?
No, I'm extremely proud. You know, I started this thing with a vision of it, but it's exceeded my vision. I mean, the fact that Kansas City and all the communities I grew up in have really just embraced it and made this thing even more than I could imagine, it's special. And so it's awesome to see all the things that are happening, because obviously I'm trying to be at as many events as I possibly can be, but I can't be at all of them. And to see how many lives it impacts is always special.
That's what I was just going to ask you. I mean, it has to be a very rewarding feeling. It's not just your teammates. It's celebrities. It's people in the community. Like, this is something that people have really rallied around to support a cause that you feel so passionate in.
100%, and you said it. It's like it's everybody. It's not just, it says 15 of the homies, but it's the whole Kansas City community that's really just helped this thing go and helped make so many great impacts in so many kids' lives. And it's something that I can be proud of more than on the field, but something that I can be proud of just how the community's rallied behind just each other and made each other a better people and a better place.
Right now, we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick. Let's go back a little bit to the game on Sunday. I mean, everything was working for you guys offensively, those first three drives. What's it like to be in a zone like that, not just on a personal level, but the offense as a whole?
Yeah, it's really fun. I mean, be able to go out there and execute at the level that you want to. I mean, that's what we've been striving for, is to be that good every single drive. And we were able to do that. You know, there was stuff we learned from on the tape and stuff like that. But I thought guys really did a great job of doing their job to the best of their ability and executing at a high level. And when everybody executes, man, we can go out there and have a ton of success.
We talked a lot about you getting back all three of your receivers at one time with Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, and Hollywood Brown. You got them all on the field at the same time. That's not to discredit Tyquan Thornton or Juju or any of the other guys who have had major contributions. But how fun was it to have all those guys available at one time?
Yeah, I mean, you see what we've worked for all offseason and last two seasons, really, and how guys have made themselves better and better and ready for that moment, you know, and it keeps the defense guessing. I mean, obviously, you have those main guys on Hollywood and Rashee and Xavier, but you get guys like Tyquan and Juju and all these guys that get to rotate in, and they make their impact on the game. And so you see that at every single position, the tight ends, the running backs, the receivers, everybody is coming in ready to go, ready to play, and it's showcasing on Sundays with a lot of success.
Let's focus in on Rashee. It's his first game back, first game in a while. It felt like you guys really made a concerted effort to try to get him the ball on the first drive. He had a phenomenal day. What did you see from him on film? How were you excited to see his role expand in the offense?
Yeah, I think you just saw a progression of where he was at last year. You know, obviously the suspension, but the injury as well. You want guys to come back healthy and ready to go. But he did a great job this offseason of working his tail off to get himself back to 100%. And I mean, he showcased that in this first game. And now it's about building, you know, him within the game plan and building up the right way. I mean, he hasn't had a lot of snaps in over a year, so you don't want to push too much. But at the same time, man, it's a special football player you want on the football field.
Can you answer this question for me? Where did this tortilla thing come from? Because I don't remember this back in, like, the Michael Crabtree, Graham Harrell days. Where did this tradition come from?
I mean, it was going on then for sure. I mean, it's been going on for, like, 30, 40 years. And there's a couple of, like, myths and stories about how it started, but it happened while I was there. I said to a couple people, man, no one cared about the tortillas when we weren't winning. But now that we're winning, everybody cares about them. So we had to stop them. But it's one of the traditions I loved about Texas Tech and how much the fans care no matter what the score is and want to be a part of it. But they'll find a way, another way now to show their support. And I just know that they'll be there for us week in and week out. And I'm excited for the rest of the season.
I'm not counting your pockets, Patrick, but you got a water endorsement. You got glasses. You got State Farm insurance. You don't have a tortilla endorsement at this point?
No, I don't, you know, but I'm sad to see that we're not able to do it anymore. It's just part of the tradition of Texas Tech. I don't know how it became such a, like, a controversial thing, but the tortillas, I guess, got a little too scary for the opponents at the Red Raider Stadium.
Whenever you get tacos, are you going soft shell or hard shell?
I'm soft shell. I like them both, though. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes you get those, like, I think they're called the Gordito Crunches from Taco Bell. I don't eat a lot of Taco Bell these days, but you get that soft shell with the hard shell underneath it. I love Mexican food, Tex-Mex especially.
Right now, we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs for a couple of more minutes. Patrick, the last time you were on, I asked you about Sunday Night Football in your first game. I just looked this up because I completely forgot. Your first four Monday night games were all on the road. Your first Monday Night Football game at Arrowhead was actually supposed to be a Sunday game. They got moved because of COVID. You guys played the Patriots. I completely forgotten about this until I Googled it like an hour ago.
Yeah, and I presume that Monday game was, I don't know if it was really like night. It was like 5 o'clock or something like that. I played a lot of these big games on the road. I feel like I get a lot of the Sunday night games at home, but the Monday night's on the road. But I'm excited to play one Arrowhead, man. I mean, it is special playing on Monday Night Football because you're the only show in town, at least this week. You get to have the primetime game. Everybody watches Monday Night Football growing up. You get to go out there and enjoy it with your teammates, man. So I'm excited to do it at Arrowhead.
One of these days, Bronze is going to, like, see your highlights, and he's going to ask you questions about the 2020 season, and you're going to have a hell of a time trying to explain to him that you played games in front of zero people.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was, like, a crazy situation. At least at Arrowhead, we had, like, a couple thousand, and you could feel the energy. I mean, so I'm playing at some of the away stadiums, and there was literally no music, no sound, no anything. It was an eerie feeling.
You guys have Sunday free. Obviously, you're going to be around the team. Like, what is your plan for Sunday? What is your plan for the weekend with you guys having a home Monday night game?
It's honestly pretty cool because you get to watch the games with the guys. You know, like you come in, do your mock game, your walkthroughs, and then you go home for a little bit, get a little bit of rest, and pack up, and then you go to the hotel, and you're watching some of those ending of those late games, and then you go into the what's called the Sunday night football game, which will be a good one. I think it's Green Bay. And the Steelers and Aaron going back home. So you get to watch those games with your teammates, man. That's some of the best memories. You know, you make a lot of memories on the football field, but getting into those meals when you're just with your guys and you're getting to watch football, it's just like anybody else when you're watching football at home. So, I mean, those are some of the best memories that you have throughout your career.
Do you watch just a single game, or are you a red zone guy? Because I love red zone. There's just something special at noon. I get all the games. They're bouncing around the league. Do you like to watch red zone or just one game?
When I got the new house in Kansas City, I got it to where you can, like, get multiple screens, you know? And so that was, like, one of the main things. Like, I didn't ask for a lot. I let Brittany do most of it, but I was, like, the living room TV and then, like, the game room, I want to be able to split the screens up. And so usually I keep to, like, one main game that I like to watch that I'm interested in, but I keep red zone in the bottom corner, and so you can kind of keep see the highlights that are going around the league.
I got a couple more questions for you, and we'll get you out of here. The first thing, Halloween is right around the corner. Do you have your Halloween costume, your plans all figured out?
I do. It's a surprise, though, but we have the whole family. We're ready to go, and it was Bronze's idea. I'll give you a little bit of a hint.
Okay, all right, then. I'm excited for you to be Buzz Lightyear or something here coming up in a couple of days. When it comes to Halloween, where are you at scary movies? Do you like scary movies? Do you have a favorite franchise?
I've never been a scary movie guy. Like, I'm not I was scared as a kid of them, and now it's like I'm not a big fan of them. Like, if it's on TV and everybody's watching it, I'll watch it. But I'm like kind of closing your ears, you know? Can't the noises and stuff get me? So I'm not a big scary movie guy.
Okay, so I was going to ask you if you like haunted houses. People were making fun of me a couple of days ago when I said, why would I pay $30 to be scared? It just doesn't really make any sense to me. It sounds like you also are not a haunted house guy.
I've literally had that exact argument with Brittany and everybody every single year. It's like, why am I wanting to go somewhere where I'm just scared the entire time? Or I'm kind of like just fidgety. I'm not scared anymore because I'm a little older, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't want people trying to scare me for whatever it is, 10, 15 minutes. So why am I going to wait in line and go to one of these things?
Yeah, it just didn't make any sense. And then people are like, oh, well, you know, at the end, you got to jump out of a window. And I'm like, I'm not trying to jump out of a window. Why would I want to do this activity?
Oh, no, 100%. And I've done the ones in Kansas City, all the main ones. And, I mean, they are awesome. They're cool, but it's just not a thing for me. But I understand people do love them.
We have the World Series here coming up. I've never really got a chance to ask you about Shohei Ohtani. You're a fan of sports. You like basketball, football, baseball, all of these things. Have you ever seen anything like what Shohei did a couple of days ago?
I haven't. I mean, not since, like, Little League Baseball or T-ball or something like that. I mean, it's it's like I told someone, I was like, man, if I'd have done this as a kid and like go Little League, it would have been impressive. But for him to do it against the best of the best in the world, and to be able to throw 100 with a nasty splitter on the mound and strike out 10 and then go out there and hit, it wasn't that he just hit three home runs, man. He hit three home runs that mattered. I mean, like every one of those mattered to get him to the next round and get him to the World Series, man. He's a special talent, and I mean, he'll go down as one of the best baseball players, not the best baseball player of all time.
Tomorrow for a day, if you could switch abilities with either Steph Curry or Shohei Ohtani, which one would you be?
I'd be Steph, man. I mean, I feel like I could shoot a little bit, but being able to shoot like that, and then like, can I get his golf game as well? That'd probably give me the added boost for it.
That's the one thing that trips me out about Steph is like everybody has shot a basketball at some point. We all just acknowledge this person is the best ever at shooting a basketball.
100%. And I mean, like, seeing it in person, I mean, he beat my Mavs in the Western Conference Finals a couple years back, and it was like watching him when he gets going and he's shooting, he's not looking at the goal. I mean, that's fun to watch.
That is the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, joining us on the show today. They got Monday Night Football coming up against the Washington Commanders. Pat, good luck this week, my man. We'll catch up with you later.
Yeah, appreciate you.
That was our conversation with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. His appearance each week on the show is brought to you by our friends at Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Telly Certified Techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today. Coming up on the other side, we'll continue to talk about a couple of the players that have been potentially linked to the Chiefs at the trade deadline. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Tune in Mondays at 4 to hear the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5, The Fan.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back into the show. We've been talking about the gambling scheme that has been uncovered in the NBA. Here's the U.S. attorney.
Players altered their performance or took themselves out of games to make sure that those bets paid out. One example occurred on March 23rd, 2023, in Charlotte. Terry Rozier, an NBA player now with the Miami Heat, but at the time playing for the Hornets, allegedly let others close to him know that he planned early with a supposed injury. Using that information, members of the group placed more than $200,000 in wagers on his under statistics. Rozier exited the game after just 9 minutes, and those bets paid out, generating tens of dollars in profit. The proceeds were later delivered to his home, where the group counted their cash. As the NBA season tips off, his career is already benched, not for injury, but for integrity.
He has now posted bail. He had to put up his $6 million house as collateral for that. We'll obviously keep you updated on what happens in the NBA, what happens with Terry Rozier. Also, Chauncey Billups was involved in this, Damon Jones, a couple of other people. The mob was in it. They had x-ray glasses to see what cards people had and special rigged card tables. It was a lot happening in the NBA today. So, Rob, let's talk about the potential players that the Chiefs could go out there and get. I feel like you really locked in on Jalen Phillips as being one of those potential players. I'm not against the idea. I'm not super for the idea. Like, it doesn't really get me all excited about it. I don't really know if it can. He's a guy with a tremendous injury history. We're not talking about bumps and bruises. We're talking about in each of the last two seasons, his year was cut short because of a significant injury. He tore his Achilles. He then came back and then tore his ACL. So he is playing this year. He's been healthy so far this season. Knock on wood. Certainly not wishing injury on anybody. But if you're telling me the Chiefs are going to pick up that kind of player, I'm trying to get that player for the absolute cheap. He's on the final year of a rookie deal. He's 26 years old. He's never really put together a great season. I'm not giving you more than a sixth or a seventh round pick for Jalen Phillips. I don't really know if he's worth a whole lot more than that because you are taking on a lot of risk if you are the other team. He is in the final year of a fifth year option, so it's just more expensive. And the injury history that I just mentioned, he's just not a guy that I'm willing to give you up a whole lot to go get. And if you trade a seventh round pick for a guy, if it doesn't work, what does it matter? I'm just not really going to be that mad about trading for a player and giving up that asset.
Here's where I am, and I don't disagree. But we talk all the time on this show about how there are March and April problems, and then there are October, November problems. The Chiefs are not going to be able to go out and get a premium, top-of-the-line edge rusher with no warts, so to speak, at this point in the calendar. They just aren't. They had that moment. It was back in March. They did not address edge rusher other than bringing Charles Minnehue back. That's fine. We now sit where we sit. Guys that are actual trade targets, not, oh, pie in the sky. Why don't they? I saw someone in the text line earlier say Jeffrey Simmons. Like, those are not actual believable outcomes. Are usually guys that you trade late round picks for or conditional picks for that you believe there's still some upside and you can squeeze that upside out of the player before, like, in a way that the previous team couldn't, and you're willing to take a risk. With Jalen Phillips, where I think he's worth the risk is, he's a lot like Joshua Uche to me from last season. He's a guy that I still think has upside, and I think you can maximize him on the Chiefs as a situational pass rusher. You just have to use him correctly. I understand the flaws. I understand the warts. I understand all that stuff. But I think for a sixth-round pick or a fifth-round pick, he is worth the risk, which is what the Chiefs are going to be offering in about a week and a half of the deadline. They're not giving up a first and a third for
no, they're not making one of those kind of trades, not even close.
So for a guy that you're giving up a sixth for, I like Jalen Phillips.
Yeah, I guess this would be my question. Is it worth it to trade a draft pick for this, or is it time to potentially scour the practice squads, add one of those players to your 53-man roster? We always know that there's players that you can pick up in free agency. I mean, that's how they got Kareem Hunt. They didn't trade for Kareem Hunt. He was just available. Now, it's later in the season than when you acquired him. But I would just ask, last year you did this with Joshua Uche. He just didn't get on the field, where basically the Chiefs just gave a sixth-round pick to the New England Patriots. I'm not here to be mad about sixth- or seventh-round picks, but are you looking for somebody that you think can impact the game, or are you looking for another body and a rotational piece, a lottery ticket, and you'll see if you get something? Because we're talking about a lottery ticket. I'd rather you just scour the waiver wire, or I'd rather you just look for a guy who's currently a free agent. Get a body in here, get somebody who's on the practice squad, you bring them in, you see if you got something that you like, and you go from there. I don't know if it's really necessary to trade a fifth-round pick for a guy that, A, might not see the field and just might not really move the needle a whole lot for you.
I think that's just kind of the nature of the trade deadline. Like, I feel like the trade deadline in the NFL, I think this year is going to be better than years past. And I think in the last couple of years, it's been better and more interesting than years past. But I feel like where baseball and basketball at the trade deadline have massive stars traded. Like, we've seen Manny Ramirez in baseball get traded. We've seen big names in basketball get traded. Like, you see these massive deals. That's not really how it goes down with football. So when I am talking about the trade deadline of the show, I'm not thinking about big time. I'm thinking about, hey, what's a guy who's flawed and would be willing to give up a sixth-round pick to get? That's how I view a Jalen Phillips type. Like the text line right now, Calais Campbell, what about this player, what about that player? I just think those guys get too expensive, and too many GMs think like I think, where premium draft picks are coveted. And if they're coveted, they're not going to give them up for one-year contract. So I think you got to find players with warts like Jalen Phillips and kind of give up the dream on guys like Von Miller or a pass rusher of that ilk.
Yeah, but I guess I would just argue then it's sort of a you get what you pay for situation. And if you were telling me, not you, just in a general you sense, if the argument is that the Chiefs need an impact player with or an impact player with juice on the defensive line, and you're willing to trade a seventh-round pick, that ain't what you're getting. It's not at all what you're getting. So that's why I say, like, what is the goal with all of this? I mean, if you're willing to trade a fifth-round pick, you'll get somebody. I don't dislike the idea of Calais Campbell. Like, he's probably one of the best options that I've heard when it comes to this. He is a veteran player on a expiring one-year deal. He only signed for $5.5 million at the very beginning of the season. You cut that in half right now, it's $2.5 million. He has been successful at every single stop. You plug him in day one, he can play for you the next day and be productive. Like, Calais Campbell, to me, like, that's one of the better options that we're talking about. That's in that Melvin Ingram, he's got a little bit left, cagey veteran. You can use him on certain third downs, and he can actually make a difference to you. I'd much rather them take that kind of swing if that's what they're talking about going out there and doing. Not getting the guy who's like the guy like Joshua Uche, the guy who kind of did it one time. It was 3 years ago. He's been hurt ever since then. And now you're hoping that you can rub the lamp one more time and get a final wish. I'd much rather them go get Calais Campbell if we're talking about them actually making a move for somebody that I think could help them the rest of the season or help them in January. I think it's far more likely Calais Campbell does that than Jalen Phillips.
I guess, and maybe it's semantics, where I think we just see this differently is I don't know that guys with a lot of juice, like a Calais Campbell, ever actually become available at the deadline because the price tag attached to them is always too high. So I think you got to start to shop in a different aisle, a different bargain. You got to find a guy who, hey, we think in our system there is juice and they're not getting it out of him in Miami or New York or Arizona because there's nothing left to play for. If we bring him into our culture, our scheme, hey, maybe he's being used as a three-down guy in insert bad team city. We're going to use him as a one-down kind of guy, and we're going to just use him as a pass-rushing weapon. I think that's what you look for at the deadline. I agree with you. Guys with a lot of juice are not Jalen Phillips. They're not, you know, Melvin Ingram types. They're not Joshua Uche types. I agree with all that. Those are not guys with super juice. I just think the guys with juice are almost never actually available this time of year. I think you'll see a report. Ian Rappaport will say it. You know, Adam Schefter will say, oh, so-and-so's available. But the price tag attached to them always makes it so they're available, but it's like fake available.
Yeah, and I guess this would be the thing. And I think most people understand this, so I don't want to paint it like people don't get it. Someone says, CDOT, I don't want them to go get Calais Campbell. He's 77 years old. This is what I would argue. If you're only willing to trade a sixth or a seventh round pick, you're going to have to accept a major negative in some capacity. Like, the negative with Jalen Phillips is injury history. He tore his Achilles 2 years ago. He tore his ACL last year. That's his negative. Yes, he is a young player. He hasn't been nearly as productive as Calais Campbell, hasn't been nearly as healthy, but he's a younger player. If you go get Calais Campbell, you got to deal with the fact that he's 39 years old. I do think we got to be a little bit realistic about what the acquisition cost is. And if you're in, I think we all agree the Chiefs are not, they're not spending a third round pick to go get anybody or a second round pick. Like, if you're willing to spend a second round pick, yeah, you can go get Breece Hall, a 25-year-old running back. That's not what they're going to do. So if you want them to be cheap, you're going to get something cheap in return. Like, that's what you're going to get when it comes to us. Yeah, I'm with you. Calais Campbell is 105 years old. Well, if you only got a seventh round pick at the deadline, I don't know what kind of player you think you're picking up and what kind of impact you think they could possibly make on the team. Coming up on the other side, we'll get ready for Thursday Night Football, a very important game in both the AFC and NFC. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, tonight we got Thursday Night Football. We got Thursday Night Football between the Vikings and the Chargers, and this is actually a pretty interesting game. I gotta tell you guys, I'm actually very intrigued by this matchup, to be completely honest with you guys. So the Chargers are 4-3, the Vikings are 3-3, and they feel like they are in the exact same spot. I don't think either team is going to win their division. I think that both teams have the capability of being a double-digit win team that maybe could win one game in the wild card picture. If you look at it right now, the Chargers will be the sixth seed in the AFC playoffs. And the Vikings, they're in the middle of just everybody. I mean, the NFC is just strong right now. Like, the Bears wouldn't be in the playoffs right now when they're 4-2. So that just kind of goes to show you how deep.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And balance, the NFC playoffs are a little bit different. So, I mean, both teams obviously really, really need this game. If you're taking a look ahead for the Chargers, and let's focus in on them, they're the team in the Chiefs division. I mean, this is a really pivotal stretch, I would say, for them, where they essentially have three of their next games. I would call them coin flip games. Today against Minnesota, I would consider that to be a coin flip game. They play Tennessee next week after a bye week. I just wouldn't consider that to be a coin flip kind of game. Or I guess a long week, not a bye week. So they have a long week getting ready for Tennessee. They then play the Steelers on Sunday Night Football, and then they turn around and play the Jacksonville Jaguars. So Minnesota, coin flip. Pittsburgh, coin flip. Jacksonville, coin flip kind of game. If you're the Chargers and you either A, want to keep pace with Kansas City, or you think you can realistically win this division, which, I mean, on paper, they can win this division. They've already beaten the Broncos once. You've already beaten Kansas City once. You absolutely, in theory, have a chance to win your division. Man, you got to win these kind of coin flip kind of games, because basically once you got out of the division, you haven't won these games. You lost to the Giants. You lost to Washington. You also lost to Indianapolis. I think they're going to win today. I don't know how you can feel great about it. I don't know how you can feel confident about it. Who knows when it comes to the Chargers? I don't know what version you're going to get.
I agree with you. That's just who the Chargers are. But isn't that kind of the NFL at large this year? Like, I think I know we referenced the I don't know topic we did a few weeks ago, but and the Chiefs and their teams who have elevated out of I don't know. But man, looking around the league, there is parity everywhere, and there's a ton of games that I feel like on an average Sunday or Monday are coin flips, and it's just a matter of who's healthy, who has been going for them more so than I think we've ever seen before. Like, I'm not even talking about like the extreme, like, can you believe so-and-so upset that team? But we see every week, hey, these teams are pretty similar. We think one team's a little better than the other one. That team falls short all the time. I think the Chargers fall into a category that a lot of people fall into this year, and there's some good, there's a lot of bad at the bottom, and more so than ever before, there's just this rinse cycle, wash, everyone's kind of the same in the middle. The Chargers and Vikings very much fall into that middle category, but they are not the only two that fall into that category.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would say at this point, I would say over half the league falls in that category. Like, I think there's a very, very small list of the tier one teams in the league. And then I think once you get to tier two, you could probably add 15 teams potentially into that conversation. I'm with you. Who do you like today? Is there a team that you like?
I'm leaning Vikings because I think Brian Flores' defense against a beaten up offensive line is advantage Vikings, but it just feels icky to be like, oh man, I think Carson Wentz on a short week on the road is going to go get it done. That's a sentence no one has ever said with confidence. But Brian Flores against a backup offensive line feels like that has to be advantage Vikings, right? Like Jonathan Grenard against a left tackle we don't know. I just saw the Colts manhandle that offensive line. You'd figure a more talented team would do the same.
Yeah, I'm with you. I know we got to do our Thursday night two-leg parlay, Rob. Tell me what you're thinking about taking in this one. If I had to take something, I'd probably take their backup running back, Vidal, is how you pronounce his last name. I would take him for an anytime touchdown at plus 120. That would be the one that I would take today if you're asking me to take a certain bet today. Is there something that you like today?
Before I tell you what I like, I want to let you know that our Thursday night two-leg is brought to you by Circa Sports. Sports betting the way it should be is coming soon to Missouri with Circa Sports. I think I like the Vikings on the money line today. I think I'm just going to play it straight out. Vikings money line. So you got Vidal for an anytime touchdown. I'll take the Vikings straight out. If we parlay that together with our friends over at FanDuel, by the way, the Vikings are the underdog. I wouldn't have bet that, but you parlay those two
road
together.
Game. I mean, that to me, that's a very simple. Slight. They're on the road. We're basically giving the Chargers the points that you get for being at home, but we think it's a coin flip
game. It's plus 577 if you play those together.
Yeah, what I would probably honestly end up doing is I would probably, like, if I had to play a parlay today, I would take Vidal 50-plus yards, also Chargers win. I feel like that's the formula for them winning. It's him just having a decent day. He doesn't have to have a great day, but he ran the ball effectively in their last game. I take Vidal money line. I'd end up probably doing that.
Or just take over one interception for Carson Wentz, because you know that's coming.
For sure.
He's giving one to the Chargers tonight. It's just a matter of when. Is it going to be crucial, or is it going to be in nothing time? That's a real safe bet.
Yeah, I'm looking right now on the parlay. So what I just told you right there, Vidal 50 yards and Chargers money line is plus 100. Even money. Even money that they run the ball somewhat decently and that they win the football game. That's not a bad bet to me. You want to put 20 to try to make it 40. I'm not going to be mad at you for making that move. Excited. Tomorrow, the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quentin Lucas, is going to be on the show. Tomorrow is day one of the streetcar expansion. That's why he's coming on the show tomorrow to talk about the streetcar expansion. It's going to go past Union Station starting tomorrow. So really excited for that. We'll also get you ready for the weekend. We'll talk a little Mizzou, a little KU, a little K-State. Big day on the show tomorrow. Really happy to be here with you guys. We'll catch you guys tomorrow. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.